like the wind blowing through your hair. Come on, roll with me till the sun goes down. Texas sun. Say you wanna hit the highway while the engine roars. Well, come on, roll with me till the sun goes down. The Texas sun. Caressing you from Fort Worth to Amarillo. Well, come on, roll with me till the sun dips low. Texas sun. Texas sun. Oh, girl. Texas sun. When I'm far from home and the cold winds blow, stuck down somewhere, folks I don't. Cause you keep me nice and you keep me warm. Wanna feel you on me, can't wait to get back there again. Texas sun.
And welcome back to the All American Savage Show podcast. I'm your host, John Burke. We got my beautiful heterosexual Jewish life partner, Josh, across from me operating those controls like a pro. Got it. All right, figured it out. Oh my gosh. Driving in this morning, listening to the Glenn Beck show, and they're talking about what we discussed yesterday as far as Ukraine trying to join NATO, and the consensus seems to be the same, that this is going to escalate global tensions even higher than what they already are. You know, they talked about how a lot of the reasons why Putin had told EU, essentially, that he didn't want Ukraine to join NATO. And of course, you know, they'd also talked about that NATO wouldn't expand, and clearly NATO's expanded, yada, yada, yada. And it's just more and more I don't know, man. It's like people almost want World War III to happen.
It seems like
people just really want this to happen. And it is what it is. But anyway, we had a great time yesterday. Went to a Don Huffines residence and got to meet Thomas Massey. That was a lot of fun. Good time. Seems he's a really good dude. Really good dude. Down to earth. You know, we went in and it was only a 2-hour event, small event. And he gave a little speech, talked about what's going on in Congress. He's currently running up against another Trump guy who's suing him currently because, I'm not going to get into the legality of it. It was not too complex, but it was BS. They're trying to get Massey on a technicality that's actually BS. And of course, it's coming from a Trump guy. And Massey tells the story of, you know, how basically he brought the entire Congress back for the CARES Act vote and how Trump hated him for that. And apparently how Trump's endorsed him for Congress. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. But apparently Trump has endorsed Massey, the same one he called a third-rate grandstander, wanted him thrown out of the GOP. Apparently now he's cool with him. So it's just like, whatever.
It's strange because his sons, he said, were at the other guy's place endorsing him.
Yeah. They were speaking at that other guy's event.
I'm not a big Don and Eric fan.
They seem kind of stupid.
I could do with
They
less
seem
of them.
Kind of stupid. I saw Kid Rock.
I mean, don't
Rock.
Get me wrong. They might be nice guys, but I don't know.
I saw Kid Rock was on, I don't know if it was MSNBC or Fox, and he's already rocking a Bud Light hat. It's like, dude, he bent the knee quick. Mr. Ball with the ball, the bang, the bang, took it straight to the dome and then just bent the knee.
Bent the knee.
Yeah, absolutely. It's sad to see that. It's so sad to see that. Like, you stood for something, and then when Trump meets up with Dana White and the CEO of Anheuser-Busch at a UFC fight with Kid Rock there, and then Kid Rock's like, well, you know, maybe they're not the bad guy. It's like, And then he says, no, we have bigger targets now. Targets like Ben and Jerry's. And who was the other one he listed? Just this guy's a moron.
Those fat bastards.
Those fat bastards making their ice cream. This guy's a moron. Like, how anybody respects this guy after this is just beyond me. Like, I cannot stand people that will not show true conviction. And instead, when money changes their ways, like, dude, you are such sellouts. Such sellouts. But
are they trying to pay the gay away?
You know, apparently, it does seem like that because, you know, Trump's whole thing was like, does Bud Light deserve a second chance? I think they do. They donate a lot of money to us, which is basically, and I love how he says the quiet part out loud. It's like, so as long as they give money to you, you can overlook their transgressions. Like, okay, fair enough, dude. Like, I'm sorry. There's no line of morality whatsoever. It's just whoever pays, then I guess we can forgive them their sins. I was glad to see Steve Deese talked about this yesterday. I'd seen it tweeted out. We discussed it prior as well, but the likes of Caitlyn Jenner and Blair White within the GOP has been a massive mistake. And Steve Deese came out and said, it's like, I'm glad to hear other people, other voices echoing that sentiment because it's true. It's like when we've embraced, open our arms and embraced this insanity, it's like, well, as long as they vote in accordance with us, they're okay. It's like, I think you're opening the door to something that you're not going to be able to remove. And what we've seen them endorse, what we've seen them stand for, it's just insanity to me at this point. So I saw he said that, which I was nice. Again, that was nice to see that. But no, the event was massive. He was good. Talked to his guys. And they're going to try and set some up. I think he said he was going to Florida to meet DeSantis today. He's all over the place. That guy's like traveling all over. So, but it was a fun event. It was a good event.
It was. It was pretty cool to meet him.
Yeah. They had beer on trays. It was cool.
Yeah.
You could walk up and they had like champagne or they had wine and they had beer on trays. It's like, I'll take a Corona. I was like, do you have anything in a Guinness?
Where's the Bud Light?
Where's that dude? I thought, I was like, is there a Bud Light on there? I would have laughed. I would have laughed so hard. But yeah, I got to see the debt calculator. The debt calculator. That was interesting. It was pretty cool to see that. But yeah, overall, it was a great event. Good time.
How did you feel leaving that event after hearing him talk about Jesus. America's future?
We're doomed. We're so doomed.
That's what I felt like, too. I'm like,
there was this gentleman there.
It would be nice to end on a high note, yeah, but like, yeah. He ended it with like some pretty dire.
You need the truth tellers. You got to have the truth tellers. They're going to give it to you straight. There was this one gentleman there, and they were fielding questions. And I asked my question. It was like only three or four of us had actually asked questions, but I was just kind of like, you know, Massey had talked about how these omnibus bills are so long. And how that when they ousted Speaker Mike Johnson, all the deals they made with him as far as like 3 days to read bills, yada, yada, yada. Then when they ousted Mike Johnson, all the deals are gone. And Mike Johnson doesn't have to honor them. So that was a big...
You mean Kevin McCarthy?
Kevin McCarthy, I'm sorry. Yes. So now all the deals are gone. And now Mike Johnson's looking like he's going to be losing the speaker gavel because Marjorie Taylor Greene's going after him. But there was a gentleman there, or he talked about the omnibus bill. I'm sorry, I'm all over the place this morning. He talked about the omnibus bill and how it takes so long to read. And so my question was, now that Elon's Grok AI has basically been set up to where they can essentially dissect these bills very quickly and make it more easily read, and then also Elon calling for more government regulation on Elon or on AI, I was like, where does Thomas stand on that? And he gave a very good answer. He's basically talking about that. If you don't want it regulated, you need to put it in the hands of everybody. He said it's like fire. His reference was like, it's like fire. It can either burn down your house or it can warm your home. It's all about how you utilize it. He said, but the best method is to give it to everybody, make it open sourced. And I was like, and I agree with that. I do agree with that. But the other part of me, though, is we have to be pragmatic. You know the government's going to regulate it. You know they're going to regulate it. They regulate everything. So
with the people that are currently in government, yeah, I can see that happening.
Yeah.
But I definitely think we need more people like him.
Oh, God, yeah.
Jim Jordan, yeah. Rand Paul.
Well, that's who he wants. He wants Jim Jordan. He's like basically Thomas Massey said that if we can get Jim Jordan a speaker, we'll be on a much better track. He said Mike Johnson. He's already doing the establishment bidding, you know. He said right now what Mike Johnson's doing is what they call cleaning the barn, which is essentially the passing everything because he knows he's about to be out. So he passed the omnibus bill, the $1 trillion spending bill. He said it is what it is. But there was a gentleman there. I think he was a veteran. He had he was wearing a suit and he had all of his bling on it. And the guy's like, who do you think America's top three enemies are? And Massey had a very good answer to that. He said, number one, it was the government. And I was like, I was itching to say, like, that'd be the government, the U.S. government, the greatest enemy of the American people would be the government. Then he said number two would be voters, ignorant voters. He's like, he's not wrong. is not wrong on that. Ignorant voters. It's, you know, we talked about that on the show so many times that it's the reasoning that we are in a lot of these situations is due to ignorant voters that are not paying attention. And then number three, who did he say number three was?
China.
But he said that one's already over.
Yeah, he said they won.
He said they won.
Yeah.
He's like, they are economically way ahead of us. It's like, we just have to embrace it and learn how to live in this world. He said he talked about, like, years ago, he visited China, and he looked at these factories that he said, as far as you could see, had robots that were making, what was it, a doll of some sort? I forget what it was. It was just a doll.
Something, but it was like robots as far as the eye could see, yeah, just making just shit.
Mass producing these things. And he's like, America can't achieve that right now. And it was just so interesting to hear him say these things, because even he even prefaced it. He was like, a lot of you are going to hate me for what I'm about to say. And it's like, well, say the truth, man. I mean, the truth is the truth. We can't sit here and be such staunch patriots that, you know, we close our ears to what the truth actually is. If America is on a doom path, then we need to pull out of it. But basically, I like the reference he made. He talked about that our national debt right now. He said it'd be the equivalent of launching a Tesla SpaceX model, or just a Tesla Model X, I think, into the ocean every day. We're just launching.
I thought it was every second.
Or is it every second? It wouldn't doubt me.
Because it was $100,000 every second.
That's true. Well, those things go for $50,000. So that'd be like two a day. I don't know. Either way, it's a sad state. It's a very sad state to see where America's going on. And so, yeah, leaving it was kind of like, well, what can we do to protect ourselves? What can we do to protect ourselves with, I was listening to Beck again on the way in, and he was talking, interviewing this one gentleman. It was about banking. And so how the Fed is going after small banks, because small banks essentially are outside of Fed grasp. It's like, but these big mainstream banks, they're in bed with the government. And he talked about how, like, when you make a deposit in the bank, it's not necessarily a deposit, because if the bank defaults, you don't get that money back. You don't get it. It's if they go under, you're done. And he talked about, but if you take money from the bank and you can't give it back, you're penalized and you can go to jail. And it's like, there, it's very interesting this, when they go into the weeds on this stuff, when you kind of take an outside perspective on the things that have been normalized in our life. And it's like, wait a minute, why do we do that? And so he said you'd have a better chance at, like, putting your money up in a stockbroker, because again, if they go under, well, then you get your money back. It's like, it's a long rigmarole process, but your money's protected. It's insured. So it was interesting to listen to all that, but yeah, very doom and gloom. But it is what it is. It is what it is. But yeah, it is Friday. Thank God for that. If you're watching, do me a favor. Hit that like button or retweet on Twitter. I greatly appreciate that. Do that thing you know I like. Do that thing you know I like. You know I like that. But how did you feel after the event? Yeah, I want to shoot myself.
I was like, is that it? Can you give us something?
Any good news? Any good news?
Something on a high note, maybe a little something on a high note. Nothing. But, nothing.
Got nothing for you.
Nothing. I mean, because he talked about too how, like, America's like the credit card processor for the whole entire world.
Yeah.
And if other countries start using other currencies other than the U.S. dollar, then we're totally screwed.
Yep.
So we're headed down that road right now.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think this election is going to make or break us. I honestly do.
I don't think so. I don't think so. I think right now, I just read that we've added.
Did you ever think that we would be at $34 trillion and growing?
Truth be told,
getting like on the precipice of World War III with the wide open border?
Yeah. No. I mean, but here we are. Regardless of what I think, here we are. But I don't know. I just feel like at this point it's like I just want to buy some, get some land overseas somewhere and deuces, I'm out, because it's just getting stupid. It's getting so fucking stupid. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. We got a government that is no longer representing the people. They're doing whatever they want. Yeah, the rich elites are getting weaponized. Powerful. All sides are guilty of this. So it's just kind of like, where's the hope? I don't know. I mean, this episode's starting out like really gloomy. Jeez, Josh, my God. Yeah, the U.S. dollar is going down the toilet. Yeah. I did start watching the, I'll probably finish it after this, the series we talked about yesterday, The Quiet on Set. I got an article here. It says, Quiet on Set directors return with bonus episode and reveal their cameras are still rolling. So I guess they're still doing interviews.
Really?
With ID, Quiet on Set, The Dark Side of Kids TV becoming an overnight ratings hit for Investigation and Discovery. Is it? Because I haven't heard anything about this until, like, it was brief little snippets.
Yeah.
Attention is now turned to a forthcoming fifth episode of the docuseries that promises to dig deeper into the toxic allegations swirling around Dan Schneider's years at Nickelodeon. This dude is really not liked. This Dan Schneider. Schneider guy. Yeah. I just finished the first episode. I'm about a quarter way into the second episode. And you can kind of already see, it's just like, You honestly, you see a guy like that that has never had power before, and you see how it warps him and then how it in turn warps the work environment. People that, you know, that come into money, to wealth, to power, to where people can't tell them no, they get whatever they want. You see true colors come out. You see the temptation become very alluring. And it's kind of like that type of attitude and behavior will eventually eat you alive. You will not survive that. When you allow your demons to overtake you, when you allow yourself to kind of, you know, some of the examples I saw where he DM people in the office, say, hey, stand up and scream, I'm a slut. It's like, why? Like, so what they're doing is they're on a power trip. I saw this a lot in the military. I mean, when you see somebody that comes into rank and that rank is backed by, you know, the Uniform Code of Military Justice, you see a lot of true colors come out. People will go out there and say, hey, I want you to go out there and do this. It's like, why? Is it because I told you to? It's like, so you're just flexing power because you have power, but there's no reasoning behind this. So then why would I respect you? And people don't understand that. And so this Dan Schneider, he seems like a classic case of that, but I haven't gotten to the pedophilia part yet, whom I'm guessing that's who they're talking about as well. Plus the other pickle guy. I just saw him.
Yeah. Brian Peck.
Yeah. That guy. Oh my God. It's getting weird.
What's crazy is he only got 16 months, but they recorded, like they had that kid Drake Bell call him to see if they could get a confession out of that guy. And he gave like a full blown confession.
Yeah.
About everything.
He got 16 months.
16 months.
Wow.
That's it.
It just feels like the justice system contains no justice at all. On Thursday, Turner Networks, ID and HLN, linear and streaming president Jason Sarlanis told The Hollywood Reporter the original four-part series, which released March 17th and 18th, far exceeded expectations and prompted the network to mobilize and greenlight the bonus episode to air only weeks later. We first started talking to co-directors Marty Robertson and Emma Schwartz about extending the series right after the trailer dropped. Sarlanis recalled on February 8th, First Look, which features clips of child stars coming forward with claims. And when they say child, like all of them, they interviewed, I've already seen like what, like 10? And they all have very similar stories. Like very similar stories. Like, bro, this guy's guilty of sin. When these people, when you, like one or two people corroborating a lie is difficult to pull off. 10, 15, 20 people to include female writers that haven't been with them for years, all saying the same thing. It's like, dude, you're guilty of sin, bro. Yeah. You've got massive testimony coming against you. Plus, there's so much proof. And it's just like the fact you got six, like, wow. Just wow. It's crazy. The bonus episode titled Breaking the Silence, which will launch on ID and stream on Max April 7th, will feature more former Nickelodeon stars, including Drake Bell, who publicly described the sexual abuse he suffered at the hands of Brian Peck, his former dialogue coach, for the first time in Quiet on Set. Some of the stars will be reuniting for the first time when Soledad O'Brien leads the conversation in the new episode to discuss where the industry can go from here. Get the kids out of it, quite honestly. The original Quiet on Set docuseries has been watched by around 20 million viewers and became the largest audience for an unscripted series on Max. The ratings are a triumph for directors and executive producers Mary Robertson and Emma Schwartz, whose series about childhood stardom has proved to be hugely consequential in the pop culture conversation. His dialogue and more firsthand accounts and accusations have since circulated in the media and on social media. When speaking on Thursday, Robertson recounted to THR her experience of viewing the first two episodes live in a room full of colleagues, including crew members, editors, and producers who had worked on Quiet on Set, while simultaneously witnessing social media platforms explode with passionate audience reaction. Certainly chills went down my spine. I couldn't believe the number of people who were engaging with the premiere in real time, she said, who were mimicking reactions we had in the editing rooms. There was this sense people are watching and holy cow, they really get it. For Schwartz, the blanket pre-premiere media coverage on Quiet on Set signaled to her that the hashtag MeToo reckoning of 2017 sparked by the Harvey Weinstein scandal that exposed the toxic culture of abuse that had long gone unchecked in Hollywood was about to engulf the questions around safeguarding vulnerable child actors in kids' television. You kind of feel like that door was open a long time ago, but nobody opened it fully with the whole Michael Jackson, Macaulay Culkin, Corey Feldman.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of kids that have spoken out over the years that are adults now saying like, yeah, I was sexually blah, blah, blah. And nobody seems to pay attention to it. It's like, yeah, whatever. It's not a big deal.
Not until the Me Too movement came along. And that's when they finally got rid of Dan Schneider.
Yeah, well, I'm saying, but at the same time, though, it just seems like people have been saying this for the longest time, and yet nobody seems to give a shit.
No, they didn't care.
Nobody seems to care.
It's like they're all in on it,
yeah,
and they're making a lot of money.
Making a lot of money. It's nuts. That's just sad to see. But anyway, this episode is brought to you by, hey, 1920brand.com. Are you a whiskey fan? Do you like mojitos? Actually, I had one last night. Well, we've got just the thing for you at 1920brand.com. This is our company made right here in the great country of Texas. How long it remains a good country, I have no idea. You see what you started, dude? Now we're all depressed.
I started it.
You started it.
Everything will be all right.
1920brand.com. Old-fashioned cocktail syrup, traditional. Check these things out. We have a lot of great options here. Go to shop all at the top. We've got the mojito cocktail syrup. We've got the old-fashioned whiskey syrup. We got the rocks glasses, the ice molds, the spherical ice molds. These things are wonderful. We got the bar mats. Go check out 1920brand.com. Again, great, great company. Great tasting drink mix. Again, these are non-alcoholic. You just mix it with your drinks. Matter of fact, the old-fashioned drink mix. Step back in time and savor the flavor of the roaring 20s with our traditional old-fashioned cocktail syrup. Our expertly crafted blend of unique flavors will take your favorite whiskey or bourbon to new heights of sophistication and style. Consider this our house blend, a true taste of sensation that's the bee's knees. With just a splash of our syrup, you can effortlessly create the best old-fashioned you've ever tasted, evoking the glamour and mystery of the speakeasy era. So why not treat yourself to a little bit of the Ritz and relive the excitement of days gone by. Yeah, don't relieve yourself. That's not good. But let's check them out. Great, great products, folks. If you're a whiskey fan, if you're a mojito fan, we're actually about to come out with the margarita mix. That's next on the series. So again, check it out. There's the link, 1920brand.com. One 16-ounce bottle is going to make you roughly 32 cocktails. It's a lot. A little bit goes a long way. Tastes really good. Again, check it out, 1920brand.com. What are you waiting for? You want to try something that actually has a good little zinger taste to it? We've got you covered. Ah, man. Also, feel free to subscribe on our locals to support the show. We really appreciate that as well. Burger King, In-N-Out, and other chain locations in California raise prices after minimum wage increase report. I mean, it doesn't take a scientist, it doesn't take an economist to tell you what's going to happen, the secondary and tertiary effects of this. And the effects have already been documented. One McDonald's franchisee reportedly said he has to raise menu prices as well. You don't say. Like, you don't say. So the state steps in and says, hey, we're going to start regulating more. We're going to start saying, this is what you have to pay someone who flips burgers. According to the local economy, it's not a livable wage. Well, whose fault is it that the local economy is absolute garbage? That cost of living is so extravagant? Whose fault is that? It's the government's. But then the government's going to come in and say, well, you as a business owner, you got to pay more now. So they can have affordable wage. It's like, but why is that our fault? You're cutting into our profits now. So it's like the one biggest money-making scheme, which is the government, that like does not even showcase true capitalism, is now going to regulate those that are trying to abide by a capitalistic nature, yet the government comes in and they screw up the local economy, and now they're going to screw up the capitalistic economy. They're going to screw up the private economy. It's just, wow. Let me know when the shooting starts, because it's warranted at this point.
Yeah, I can see why In-N-Out Burger started to get out of California.
Everything's going to start leaving California. Yeah. They don't stand a chance.
They were smart to get out as early as they did.
I don't blame them.
Wouldn't they come here like 2 years ago? 3 years ago, maybe?
Nah, it's got a bit longer than that, I think.
Was really? It?
Yeah, I think In-N-Out's been in Texas for... I don't know. I remember when I was in Anna, I was hitting In-N-Out. There's a little thing there. It's been a while. I don't know. Either way, I don't blame them. I mean, it's a case in point of these businesses, these corporations. Here's the screwed up part, though. It's that this actually helps large corporations like McDonald's and Burger King. Now, I didn't tell people this, but when I went to Paris last year, we went to a McDonald's there. Almost 85% of it was robots. You go in there, you pick the menu. You don't even talk to somebody. You go to the menu, you do blah, 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 and then it submits the order. Then you go to the register and you pay the lady, and then they bring out your order. Literally, that's it. And in the back, they have it like all pre-done. This is in Paris. So what this, and I love the fact, I don't love it, but it's interesting how the smallest adjustment, the smallest tweak at the minimum wage point has such massive economic disadvantages for mom and pop businesses. And I say that because, well, Burger King is valued at how many billions of dollars? They can essentially afford to push into big tech. They can afford to go into, you know, robots, stuff like that, incorporate that so they can cut the workers. They don't have to deal with that. And truth be told, they're probably going to stop screwing up our orders now. That'd be great. But either way, but the mom and pop businesses, they can't do this. They can't afford to use robots. And also, they can't afford to make the pay jump to $20 an hour for flipping burgers. You're telling me that you deserve $20 an hour for flipping burgers? No skill involved in this. It's nuts to me. And flipping burgers was never meant to be a sustainable job that you could feed a family of four on. I'm sorry to tell you that, but that's just the way it is. But it's just nuts. So now, large-scale corporations are going to be leaving the state of California or adjust with the revamps of technology, and then mom-and-pop businesses, what do you think is going to happen to them?
Go under.
Done. Thus, creating less competition in the free market, and now corporations essentially get a monopoly. You love it. You love it now. And I saw that Walmart was talking about making people pay to use the self-checkout now. It's like, no. So you got to love that. So it's like they did the self-checkout now, so that way they can try and, you know, not have as many employees. But now they're trying to say that if you use the self-checkout, though, you have to pay an extra fee. It's like, you can go to hell. That's not going to happen. It's just nuts. Burger King, In-N-Out, and the other chain locations in California raised prices after minimum wage. This is like a cause and effect right here. This is very beautifully done. Prices for burgers, fries, and other fast food items have increased at various restaurant chains across California, according to a recent report. So once again, where does that cost eating get passed down to? It's the consumer. They already said, now we're raising prices. If we got to pay them more, we're raising. Now, here's the thing. Realistically, I'm pretty sure McDonald's can afford that. Problem is, they don't want to. That's fair game. It's their company. They do what they want. But either way, now prices are going up. So thanks to stupid voters that, like, again, we talked about before, a lot of the reasons we're in these problems is stupid, uneducated voters. Because of voters and this overwhelming voice that screams in, you know, Gavin Newsom's ear when he's not in French laundromats violating COVID policy that he himself sets forth, when they're screaming in his ear to raise because we need a livable wage, blah, 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 blah. And then what happens? Like, who gets blamed for this? Liberals should. All liberals should. It's nuts. It is nuts. But yeah, and here we are. What? And then the tipping thing. Last night I went to a restaurant. Tipping is no longer 10%. Now it's like 18 to 20%.
You mean at a restaurant?
At a restaurant.
It's always been like 18%.
Really? I thought it was 10%. It's 18%?
I thought
it was 10%.
That was like 18. 15 to 18.
I'm to the point now where I'm almost done eating out. I was like, I'm sorry. It's getting stupid. It's getting stupid.
Like, everything has a tip.
It's a tip. I was like, I'm not tipping you. I was like, for what? Yeah. You get paid. It's insane. Tipping culture in America, like going to places in Europe, it feels weird because they don't want tips. They get paid good. And I'm just kind of like, I like this. Like, I do like this. Europe's looking more and more enticing as the days go by. I might just pick up and move. I don't know. I'm telling you.
What part of Europe would you move to?
I'm not moving.
If you did.
If I did, I don't know. Probably goes like, wouldn't go to Europe. Probably go to
Costa Rica.
1% tax is very appealing. Yeah. Oh, a senator out of Ohio submitted a bill. I doubt it's even going to freaking make it to the floor, where he said that we need to abolish the 16th Amendment to where there's no more taxing on your wages.
Yeah, that's what
Massey was talking about last night.
The 16th and 17th Amendment.
Yeah. Like, it's true.
Go on.
I'm listening. Let people keep more of their money. What could possibly go wrong with that? A New York Post investigation revealed that some fast food chains in the Los Angeles area raised prices on April 1st after new California statewide legislation went into effect Monday, enforcing a $20 minimum wage for restaurants that have less than 60 or that have at least 60 locations nationwide, except those that make and sell their own bread. Okay, well, then I stand corrected on the mom and pop things. But either way, these people are just going to circumvent it. Either way, the cost gets passed down to the consumer, so you're still getting screwed. Governor Gavin Newsom signed the legislation. And again, how is that fair in free market enterprise, though? So if you're more successful, you get penalized. And if you're not, well, then, again, this is what I'm saying. Either way you cut this cake, when government steps in, it's not good. It's not a good outcome.
No, they don't know what they're doing.
Gavin Newsom signed legislation AB 1228 into law in September. In addition to the pay raises, it also establishes a fast... Oh, my God. Okay. Close your eyes and tell me what comes to mind, what image comes to mind when I say this. I'm going to tell you what mine was. It also establishes a quote-unquote fast food council. What is it? What comes to your mind? What picture?
A fast food council?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, like the Burger King crew?
That's
like,
what I was just thinking. The Hamburglar. Yeah, the Hamburglar. I was like, yeah, the fast food council. Yeah. It's like, that's what I, yeah. Funny. It's like a fast food council. Like
all the characters.
So you come to us wanting more burgers to open up new locations. I don't know. Hamburglar, where do you stand on this? I don't know what his voice sounds like. Actually, he didn't have a voice, I don't think. A fast food council, including representatives for both workers and employers that can approve further pay. Bro, unionization leading to more socialism, and it goes down. It just continues to circle the drain. Continues to circle the drain on this one, and you just got to laugh. You just got to laugh. The biggest leap was at a Burger King where Texas Double Whopper meal cost $15.09 but on March 29th, but surged to $16.89 on April 1st, a whopping increase of $1.80, nearly 12% for the same meal. The New York Post reported the Big Fish meal also jumped from $7.49 on the menu before April 1st to $11.49 after its increase of $4, 53%, the report continued. Most other items increased everywhere from 25 cents to a dollar. Hard House and In-N-Out Burger also saw price increases at certain locations. However, the New York Post found that prices at Chick-fil-A, Wendy's, and McDonald's did not rise, despite one McDonald's franchise telling CNN Business that his restaurant has been affected by the minimum wage increase. As a business owner, when you're dealing with this kind of extraordinary overnight change, you know, a 25% increase in wages no stone has to remain unturned. McDonald's franchise owner Scott Roderick said, and so we have looked at price. Although I can't charge $20 for a Happy Meal, my customers' appetite to absorb menu board prices is not unlimited. The minimum wage increase in California has raised the minimum annual salary of workers to $41,600. The median fast food worker in the U.S. earned $13 an hour in 2022, while those in California made an average of $16.60 an hour. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the new minimum equates to an annual salary of $41,600. Fox News Digital has reached out to comment from Burger King, In-N-Out, and blah, 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 and nobody responded. Now, here's where it gets pretty freaking hilarious, to tell you the truth. boom, right off the bat. California minimum wage shocks fast food workers as restaurants close. Only the beginning, ex-manager warns. Another California spot. Oh, by the way, there was over 1,200 layoffs. Automatically, fast food franchise is done. They're just going to start firing people. It's like, okay, invest in technology. And all of this at the hands of the government, trying to help. Again, the pathway to hell is with good intentions, pay of course. And so they always screw it up. They always screw it up. So the answer should be, rather to fix the issue, is like, okay, well, they can't make an affordable wage. Well, number one, what's an affordable wage? And that job, is that job meant to be where you can raise a family? No, it's not. Like this idea that socialist liberals have that every job that you have, you should be able to afford a family on, that's stupid. That's just... Flat out stupid. Flipping burgers. And we have such a cultural breakdown in this country because I was always raised that if you're in your 30s or 40s and you're flipping burgers, you failed.
Yeah.
You failed. You did something wrong and you failed. You should be ashamed of yourself. Now, I understand you fall in hard times. You got to do. I get it. Trust me. But if, you know, your entire life you've striven to be nothing and that's where you are later on, you're failed. You've got no motivation. But again, going back to the fact of like, they want to raise this, you're just like, how many Elon Musks do you have to see leave California before you morons wake up and realize what this is doing to your local economy? So the point that I'm trying to make, though, is rather than ask the question of how can we fix this from occurring, and that answer being fix the economy, the local one, which again, it's one of the world's biggest economies, but they're also one of the biggest ones in debt, massively in debt. But California, we have the biggest economy. You're also one of the biggest ones in debt. And it's going to get worse because what's going to happen now? Well, people are going to stop going to Burger King and stuff. It's too much. Like, I can't afford this. Like, I'm going to stop going.
Doing them a favor, really.
What are they going to do? Yeah, honestly, you really are. Like, you really, I don't eat a lot of fast food, but I'll tell you this right now. When I do feel bad afterwards. Just, you feel it. Just like, oh, I get it that sometimes you just got to get that Whataburger. I get it.
It is good.
It's delicious. Whataburger is good. But then after the fact, you're just like, man, what did I just put inside of me? That was not good. Not good, but
interesting.
It's a shock. Shut up, Josh. It's a shock. Monica Nerarvo, former assistant general manager at Foster's Freeze in Lemoore, said the bottom line Wednesday. It would have been nice to have a notice so we could go get some applications out. I could prepare them. She continued. The best I can do is honestly give them some references because a lot of people are just laid off. While making their way to work on Monday morning, Navarro and her team learned upon arrival that the restaurant owner had made the decision to close its doors for good. The owner, Lauren Wright, told local Fox affiliate KMPH that the last thing they wanted to do, but knew by Friday night the business likely wouldn't be able to absorb the wage hike and didn't want to ruin their Easter Sunday. The new California statewide legislation went into effect Monday and enforces a $20 wage for restaurants that have at least 60 locations nationwide, except those that make and sell their own bread. Now, of course, there's a lot of franchisers that, you know, I remember the cost of a thing, Chick-fil-A, to franchise them was like $25,000 to $50,000. You had to work for them at one point as well. It's not cheap.
So I want to say it's like $4 or $5 million.
Now?
Yeah. To franchise of Chick-fil-A?
No.
Yeah. My wife had looked into it a while ago.
Really?
And it was, you had to get on a list and you had to go through all these hoops. And then it was like $4 to $5 million.
Damn, I didn't know that. Yeah. Where was I looking? Oh, anyway. It's, well, all these franchise owners.
Because they build up the location owners. And all that shit.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that does make sense.
Yeah.
Well, the franchise owners, they're SOL. They put the money up to franchise, and hopefully people know what I'm talking about when it comes to franchising, but this is where they're at now. How is that fair to them? And you're just left looking as like, well, this is what the government created. This is what they did.
Yeah, Hobo in the chat says, you have to have $5 million in assets. I also looked into it with a couple other investors.
Damn. Well, imagine that's the... And, you know, this is what I love. Like, what about the CEOs? Well, what if... Let's just take Hobo, for example. Maybe Hobo decides that he's going to get with some other investors and say, hey, we got to get $5 million, okay? And we got to invest this into starting our own franchise. And when you franchise, they come in and they give you the blueprints of how to be successful. This is what we do, the color scheme, everything. They do everything, but you got to pay. So then the state comes in and says, oh, by the way, now you got to pay $20 an hour minimum wage. It's like, well, we can't factor that into our overhead. Like, that'll literally make us go under. And these investors, they get screwed. That's it. They're done.
That's it.
That's it. The government goes tits up. Well, they get their money. They're good.
Oh, print it.
Print it. Print more.
Raise taxes.
Yeah. But if you as an investor that strikes out to be successful, to stimulate the local economy, to create jobs, you get penalized. So when I hear these idiots talk about like, well, what about the CEOs? Hobo would be the CEO that puts up, what, $250,000, whatever, of his own money. He's taking the fiscal risk. So if it pays off, he can do whatever the hell he wants. That's the way it works. High risk, high reward. Low risk, low reward. But I always love these simpletons. Like, what about the greedy CEO? Why is it they're the ones that are greedy? Were they greedy when they gave the money to do this? When they took the fiscal risk? When they took the low? By the way, a lot of these investors are probably borrowing this money.
Yeah.
Capital investors are probably taking these loans, these loans out of these banks. And if the business goes tits up, what are they doing? They're probably going to default.
Yeah.
Going to go bankrupt. Then their credit's smashed for the next 7 to 8 years. Done. Then entrepreneurial spirit's dead. Would you ever want to do that again? Hell no. I can't tell you how many ex-business owners I've talked to that are now working for somebody else. Like, I just couldn't do it anymore. It's like, I hated it. It's just like, it's not worth it. You work your ass off, you work your fingers to the bone, and the government's there to screw you at every turn. And then finally just gets to the point, it's like, you know what? I'm just going to go somewhere else because the stress is not worth it. And it sucks for that because it shouldn't be that way. Because when we have a much more robust free market, competition drives down prices. But now you've got government stepping in. It's damn near communism. They're controlling Facebook, or excuse me. California's wanting to control, you know, minimum pay. It's like, dude, you're essentially, you're like one step away from controlling means of production. Yeah. You're like one step away from communism. Just do it already. And it's nuts to me. But Americans are so stupid, they buy into this because it sounds good. It breathes well. They're not educated. They don't understand basic economics. Like, this is not going to work. So businesses are going to start leaving California. Areas are going to start getting, you know, dry. They're not going to want to go there. And then those idiots want to come here to Texas, another place, and vote accordingly. I was like, I'm sorry. It's the national divorce is sounding better and better. It's like, no. There needs to be a curtail of like, no more. If you're in California, you can't come to Texas. Like, no. Done. You made your bed, you sleep in it.
Yeah, I agree.
It's ridiculous. Two of my coworkers were actually going in to clock in for the morning. And right after that is when I got a phone call that we were closing. So they found out right as they were about to clock in for the day, Navarro recalled. We had gotten a text in a group chat that we were shutting down. And I completely thought it was an April Fool's joke. One of Navarro's, yeah, I'll imagine that. Ooh, on April 1st, and somebody says we're shutting down. It's like, okay, April Fool's got it. And you probably think that you probably even go into work. It's like, okay, dudes. It's like, no, we're actually shutting down. It's like, this isn't funny. This is a sucky April Fool's Day joke. We got into a text in the group chat. We were shutting down, and I completely thought it was an April Fool's joke. After speaking further with the manager and Foster's Freeze owner, Navarro learning that the minimum wage law was a primary factor in the restaurant's demise. He did blame it on the minimum wage increase. Although, excuse me, you know, I wonder how many of these people laid off are going to go back and vote the same way they did before, though. That's the biggest question. Although, from my understanding, I think, pardon me, we were exempt from it because of the amount of locations that he personally owns. But he did ultimately blame it on that increase, she said. I can see their intentions with the increasing the minimum wage, thinking that will attract more people, the ex-manager added. But I honestly don't think it will work. It's not the first business that's closing. There's already a few local businesses for me that are also closing. So I feel like this is just the beginning. Oh, it is. It is. Some people are going to do their best to stay afloat, and eventually they're just going to go under. From the people that I spoke to, my employees would have rather stayed at the wage that we did have before just because now we don't have a job, Navarro said. And those who are still working in the areas around us that went up to $20 an hour, they got their hours severely cut. Oh, they didn't tell you about that part, did they? They can pay you more, but they're going to give you less hours. Makes sense to me. I'd do the same thing.
They didn't think about that?
Well, you know what they're going to do next? They're going to try and pass laws and legislation saying you have to hire them.
A minimum hour.
There has to be a minimum hour requirement. I was like, dude, no, businesses can't survive on that because businesses have to adjust.
Yeah, the government needs to stay out of businesses.
It's like, ridiculous. It is ridiculous. So, yeah. Just nuts. Well, The Rock has come out and talked about his endorsement of Joe Biden back in 2020. Dwayne The Rock Johnson sounded off on cancel culture and why he would not be endorsing President Biden this election cycle in an exclusive interview with Fox and Friends. Now, I'm going to pitch this to the people that have not read this article yet or heard this. That being said, who do you think The Rock's going to endorse for president? Have you read the article?
I have not read the article.
Okay, who do you think he endorses?
I think it's going to be, I don't think he's going to say anything as far as endorsements goes. And I think that's going to be his silent nod to voting for Trump.
What does the chat think? RFK, RFK. Somebody said JFK. That's not going to happen. RFK, RFK. Yeah, RFK. Everybody saying RFK. The Rock sounded off on cancel culture. Why would not be enjoyed? Blah, blah, blah. The actor and former WWE superstar explained how he values authenticity and finds the current push to not offend others aggravating because it forces people to be dishonest, to be real and to be direct and to be open and to be transparent. That's important to me, he explained to host Will Kane. In today's easy cancel culture world and cancel culture, woke culture, this culture, that culture, division, that really bugs me. Uh-oh. Now the left's starting to turn. Now you're starting to get sick of this monster you created.
Yeah, he's partially responsible.
He is. You endorse Biden. Johnson said he's come to learn that being real and honest is more important than being worried about being canceled. You either succumb and be what you think other people want you to be, or you go, no, that's not who I am. I'm going to be myself and I'm going to be real. If you ask me something, a real answer is important, and the truthful answer is important, and that may get people upset and may piss people off, and that's okay, he said, but it took me some time to recognize that. Say, briefs well, Dwayne. Now let's hear some of your controversial opinions and see how quickly Hollywood drops your ass.
Yeah.
It's one thing to...
See where that sexual assault...
Yeah.
See, where's that...
Yeah. Dip your toe in the water, Dwayne. Come on, jump in. Jump in and join us. Join us. Join the movement that has been censored, banned, discriminated against, attacked relentlessly. You think you know. You don't know dick all. You're at the top here in Hollywood, bro. Come out with a controversial opinion. Now, to answer your thing, he's not endorsing anybody.
Yeah.
He refuses to. And why? It's like, wait a minute. So if you're not going to vote for Joe Biden, you clearly think he's bad, then why not endorse Trump? Because you know he won't. Because you know that'll get you blacklisted. Because now you're a Nazi.
So, I figured it'd be just like a silent nod to... You know, if it's not Trump, then maybe RFK.
I would have thought RFK. Because a lot of Democrats in big positions... The only one that I am actually shocked about is... what's his name? Douchebag. You know, Donald Trump, pig dick. What's his face? Mike... Is
Rappaport.
It Mike? Rappaport. Michael Rappaport. He's saying he's probably voting Trump. I'm like, wow. You know, that was like the only one outside of him that would impress me would be Keith Olbermann. The biggest leftist mouthpieces are like, wow, now you're voting Trump. It's that bad. But The Rock, he's fence sitting now.
Well,
it's like, dude, commit.
Rappaport lives in New York. Mm-hmm. You know, he went along with all the liberal stuff and all their talking points and all that stuff. And then all of a sudden they start calling me racist and all kinds of other shit.
Oh, so, that's funny to me. Josh and John, 2024. Hell yeah. Johnson, who identifies as an independent, made his first endorsement of a political candidate during the 2020 election, backing President Biden. Kane asked if he was happy with that endorsement 4 years later and with the current state of American culture. He said, am I happy with the state of America right now? Well, that answer is no. Do I believe we're going to get better? I believe in that. I'm an optimistic guy, and I believe that we can get better, he began. This is where he begins the fence sitting, I'd imagine. The endorsement that I made years ago with Biden was that I thought he was the best decision for me at that time, he said. However, he regretted the division caused by wading into politics and said he would not be publicly endorsing a candidate this time around. Well, wait a minute, Dwayne. Didn't you just say you've got to be yourself? You got to be true to... Now you're contradicting yourselves. Like, well, it's, you know, I'm tired of worrying about offending, blah, blah, blah. But now, because you see it's so chaotic, well, I don't want to offend people. Bro, be yourself. But no, can't do that.
Why even do the interview then?
Good question.
Why not just put out a statement on your good Instagram
question.
Account?
Very good question.
What does he have, over 100 million people following him? Could have done that.
Yeah. Guys, it's nuts.
Is it maybe because it's mostly conservative or Republicans that watch football and you bought into a league that needs some people to watch it?
You think so?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
I do.
You think it's mainly conservatives watch football?
Yeah, I do.
No, I don't.
I think a majority, yeah.
Let's look this up. There's got to be a study out there somewhere.
You think Democrats, Bud Light drinking Democrats, are living on the tube watching football?
I don't think it's primarily Democrat.
I mean, that's just my personal opinion. I mean, but who does all the purchasing? I mean, all these women came out about WNBA, that soccer player that came out was like, we don't get paid as much as men do. Because nobody goes out and watches those things.
No,
these liberal women aren't going out and watching these soccer games.
Boring.
Basketball,
soccer's boring.
Women's basketball.
Yeah. Or not Europe. Over here, football is actual football. And to them, you know, soccer's like, this is dumb. No. I've never been into it. The endorsement that I made years ago with Biden. Years ago. Am I going to do this again this year? The answer is no. I'm not going to do that, he told Kane, because what I realized that what that caused back then was something that tears me up in my guts back then and now with such division. And that got me. Dwayne, don't play stupid. You knew what your endorsement was going to do. What are you talking about? Like, I didn't know. Like, wait. So you're telling me that you did not know that politics in contemporary America is very divisive? Like, you're kidding me with this. And then Dwayne comes out and says, I didn't know. It hurts me so much inside. By the way, guys, donate to Hawaii, even though I'm probably not going to give much. But you should give a lot. Yeah. Such hypocrites. Not that I'm afraid of it all, but it's just that I realize this level of influence, I'm going to keep my politics to myself, and I think it's between me and the ballot box, he continued. The Hollywood star said he would 100% support whomever the American people choose to be president. Man, get some Shell Shock CBD lube for that fence sitting you're going to be riding there, buddy. Your butt's going to get tired. Take one up the keister. Yeah, what ridiculous. What ridiculous. Yeah. So apparently, the IDF murdered 7 aid workers in Gaza. And I'm like, something's fishy. And the thing, I'm just going to say this right off the bat, and I think this is just the most hilarious thing ever, is that Biden's going to sit there and pearl clutch, but it wasn't but 2021 when we drone struck and killed like how many children? During the Afghanistan withdrawal, it was that time frame.
Yeah.
What happened there? Where was all the outrage? But you do it to the Muslims in Gaza. Oh, my God. Can't do that.
You know, that asshole will never take any sort of accountability for any of bullshit that he's done over the course of his 75-year career in politics.
Oh, my God. I should run. That's a very lucrative job. Very lucrative job. Do shit all and then make so much money. It's ridiculous. IDF gunman seen with the WCK aid convoy. Logo invisible to drones at night. Now, I'm just going to tell you this right now, folks. When you enter into a war zone and you don't learn what's going on there, how vehicles should be marked appropriately, there were SOPs over there for vehicles that were moving in and out of these war zones. There were markings you had to have so you could be identified, specifically at night. Specifically like VF-17 panels. These things are, you can pick them up. You can see them at night through infrared and stuff like that. Optics, excuse me. Well, they weren't marked. So listen to this though. And everybody is pearl clutch. 7 innocents died. It's like, here's the deal, man. You play stupid games, you win stupid prizes. You know Israel's at war with Gaza. And if you're going in there to help aid rescues, like, then don't be surprised if you catch a stray round. You just don't know. It's war.
Yeah.
They're not giving a shit about you. The IDF announced Friday that it had concluded with its probe into the deaths of 7 aid workers from the World Central Kitchen, noting the reasons for the mistake and holding several officers accountable. The IDF had fired on the convoy in the sincere but mistaken belief that it contained Hamas gunmen after one gunman had been identified atop one of the vehicles earlier in the night. But before the convoy had entered the local warehouse, the WCK logo painted atop the vehicle was not visible at night and to the infrared cameras used by drones. Still, the IDF fired 2 officers and reprimanded several others for what it said were violations of regulations. Now, realistically speaking, they're all kind of wrong. You should have had your vehicle marked. And if you're going into a war zone, you better be careful with who you surround yourself with because something like this could happen. If your vehicles are not clearly marked and you've got dudes with guns and plain clothes surrounding you, they're going to take you for enemy combatants and they're going to smoke you, and deservedly so. But that being said, I don't think the IDF had positive ID on this one. When you see one gunman and you smoke 7 people, something sounds off on that one. But again, this is war. Welcome to the hells and reality of where there are no rules. It's like trying to control chaos and put it in Pandora's box. You can't do it. War is no rules. Well, they try to enforce rules, but, you know, it's always the other ones that never abide by it. It's never the Taliban. It's never the freaking Gaza Hamas Muslim dudes. They're never going to abide by the rules. But if you're defending yourself, you should.
Do you think Israel is just trying to wipe them out completely?
They should. They should just wipe them out completely. Destroy, raise Gaza to the ground and be done with it. Walk away, no two-state, nothing. And say, if the Arabs don't want you, you're screwed. So leave Gaza. It's getting bombed into nothing. Just do away with it. Of course, the world is going to react. There'll be a lot of probably trying to embargo Israel, yada, yada, yada. America's going to stick with Israel. Biden's not going to abandon Israel. But then you're done. Except now at this point, the problem moves from Gaza to the West Bank. You're not going to have Jews and Muslims living harmoniously. It's not going to happen. It's never going to happen. As long as a state of Israel exists, the Muslims will not be happy. So Israel just need to do what's best for Israel, wipe them out, and then just be like, okay, if you're coming in here, yeah, no Arabs allowed. Maybe it's time that countries start enforcing no more migration. You're born in Africa, you're born wherever, you stay there. You're not coming over here. I still love how Poland's just like, yeah, we don't subscribe to this. Yeah. We're not taking any Muslim refugees, and we haven't had any terrorist attacks. Weird. Crazy how that works, right? But here we are. Yesterday, the investigation of the difficult incident, which seven workers of the humanitarian organization WCK were killed in the Gaza Strip as a result of the fire of our forces, was completed. The investigation was carried out by the Joint Chiefs of Staff's investigation mechanism, led by Major General Yoav Har-Evan, and was presented to the Chief of Staff, Lieutenant General Herzi Hadley. The event took place on April 1st of 2024 during an operation to transfer humanitarian aid of the WCK organization to the Gaza Strip. The investigation shows that the IDF forces identified one gunman on one of the aid trucks and later believed that there was another gunman. So now you're feeding Hamas. Interesting how that kind of changed the dynamic there, doesn't it? So if you've got gunmen there, well, why are gunmen there? Why are, now, people say, well, you know, Hamas is making sure the Palestinians. No, Hamas is the enemy. Or maybe you could have released the hostages. Or maybe you shouldn't have murdered 1,400 people in cold blood. So I'm sorry. I feel nothing for Gaza. I don't care.
It's strange nobody brings that up. No. That's how it all started.
It's all gaslighting one side. Here's the thing. Like I said, I don't want to pay for this war. I don't want to commit troops to this war. But again, if you're forcing me to pick a side, I'm going with the Jews. I'm going with Israel. Hands down. I don't care who likes that or not. And if people don't like that, go over to Gaza and fight the Israelis. Do it. Go do it. But the idea, though, that we keep sending them money is just, it's preposterous. It's insane to me.
Yeah, that part I don't agree with.
I don't agree with that. Yeah. And everybody's jumping all over this. People are like, look how horrible the IDF is. Like, you realize America has done way more in collateral damage.
Let me tell you a story about October 7th where these guys paraglided into a concert and started mowing people down and
not
raping
just Israelis.
Women.
Yeah. 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 But oh my God. Self-defense, oh, you're so horrible. Yeah, whatever. The Jews are good at combat. I'll give them that. Good for them. Wipe Gaza off the map. Chicago mayor. Oh, this joke. Urges Biden to grant work permits to 500,000 illegal immigrants.
That's a wow. Lot. I heard there's like measles breakout, breakout of measles and like
these migrant shelters,
tuberculosis.
Yeah, yeah, they're coming from third world countries where they still deal with that.
Right,
they're gonna bring it into America.
Yeah,
maybe that's because unchecked immigration is not a good thing. You don't know what they're bringing with them, but don't you know they're gonna try and use that as like, now we have another reason for another vaccine, or now we have another reason to do this or whatever to lock you down, something along those lines. But yeah, they're talking about these migrant shelters are just wrought with diseases and stuff. I'm like, not my problem. They shouldn't be here. Sorry.
I wonder what they're telling them. Like all those illegal aliens that are putting these big warehouses like sardines.
Yeah.
Like just hold tight.
I don't know. I really don't know. Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson urged President Biden on Thursday to grant work permits to nearly 500,000 illegal migrants living in the state. Johnson also said the city, which has roughly 2.7 million people, can conservatively welcome another 400,000 to 700,000 illegal immigrants. Oh, my God, dude. What I really want to say is these sellouts of the American dream. These people are putting illegals before American citizens. Your city is a shithole. You have black crime rampant through the roof. And then you say, we can take on another 500,000 illegal immigrants that we don't know where they're coming from, what cultures they embrace, and, you know, yeah, we'll take them here. every day I wake up and I see it, and America is just wrought with stupidity, wrought with the stupidest motherfuckers alive, dumbest people I've ever seen. And what's sad about this is this nerd is only a reflection of the scum and peasantry that elected him and voted for him. Liberals are some of the stupidest people I've ever seen in my entire life. That's why I'm kind of like, I'm leaning more now towards the national divorce. Put the liberals in California. That's your shithole. That's your economic problem to deal with. I don't want to pay for it. Not my problem. You believe in socialism. You believe in universal health care. Go do it and see how long you thrive for. Go do it. And this was just hilarious. Earliest COVID-19 vaccine recipients wrote in tens of thousands of injuries that were left off of CDC surveys. I should fucking sue YouTube and get my account back. Medical misinformation, my fucking dick. Agency unsuccessfully fought to keep free text entries hidden after turning over the checkbox survey data in a different lawsuit. Persistent immune imprinting from taking same vaccine repeatedly confirmed again. The earliest receipts of the newly authorized COVID-19 vaccines included healthcare workers wrote in tens of thousands of adverse events related to the heart, ears, reproductive system, and other conditions not listed as checkboxes in a federal active monitoring smartphone app. Oh, but you know, as long as we give government control over the MSM, they can censor you, they can ban you, well, then this information doesn't get out. Was it Dr. Malone? They threatened to like disbar him or like take away his license.
A lot of doctors.
And now it's, oh, look who was right. Now, as a result of the wrong decisions being made, who's being penalized? Nobody. Vigilante justice has got to make a comeback at some point. I'm sorry. People need to start smoking some motherfuckers, because I'll tell you what right now, these fucking billionaire pharmaceutical motherfuckers at the hands of these politicians, they made out like fucking bandits, which left you and your loved ones dead, on ventilators, away from their families, and no one's being held accountable. No one. Just nuts. Just nuts.
It really is.
How much worse does it have to get? Mind-blowing to me. Nobody gives a shit. I would love to see some COVID accountability. I would love to see some people brought up on charges and in prison for life, for the lives that you've destroyed, because nobody takes it seriously. It's not a big deal, because as long as it happens to somebody else, then who really cares? Does it really matter? And that's what that just blows my mind. And people during COVID are like, we've got to get through this. And then the opposition, we'll call it the rebellion. We were kind of like whispers at first, like, hey, I don't believe in this, but I also don't know. Let's just let it play out. Medical autonomy, you know, you choose to take it. If you don't, just wait and see. We got COVID like, what, 3 or 4 times?
Yeah.
And then come to find out.
And better for it.
Better for it. Built up the antibodies. Yeah, absolutely. Grew a third tail. It was great. But still, it's just though, like, then the rebellion whispers start growing into talks and then screams. And here we are now saying, oh, by the way, we were right. And it wasn't that we were right on the premise of we knew the vaccine was bad because, you know, we're virologists and stuff. It was in the sense of I know the government and I know how the government operates. And if you take that vaccine, knowing full well the clinical trials were only like at best 6 months to a year long, if even that, again, think for yourself on this. It's like, no, not going to do it. And sure as shit, there you go. And what happens? And now there's no accountability. The rich got richer. Yeah. Meanwhile, if you took the jab and you had a permanent injury, good luck. Good luck.
You know that Cochrane study that did the mask study?
Mm.
Masks did approximately zero.
Really?
Made zero difference.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad we wore them everywhere.
Yeah.
Glad your daughter got fucking asthma from it.
Yeah.
Worth it.
I know. I think I ran off Huffine's wife when I...
No, the other chill. Well, I don't think that. Yeah. The kid walked up. Now, Don Huffins, he ran. I knew I recognized that name. Don Huffines. He's a car dealer guy, right? Really, really loaded dude. It was a beautiful house.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful house. That had to be like $10 million at minimum. But the other thing is, like, I could never live there. They're like, they are stacked on top of each other. It's like, literally, you can see your next
door. I don't think that's his only house.
I don't think so. Oh,
he's got to have a house in the Hamptons somewhere
full of illegals out there. It's like, yeah, I'll let him bunk here. No, yeah. Not really. Nice dude.
Yeah, he was right.
Very wealthy family.
Very nice. Yeah. They were all very nice.
Yeah, they were. When I went to that one event with Crenshaw and Glenn Beck, the host didn't even greet anybody. I didn't even know who the fuck the hosts were. This one, they were shaking hands. Oh, yeah. They were really nice. But, yeah, same thing. And, you know, Don Huffines ran on the idea of, I didn't even know he was running. I just knew it was Alan West and Greg Abbott and Chad Prather, which was a joke. It was like Chad Prather. Okay.
Yeah.
But I didn't even recognize Don Huffines until I was like, oh, now it makes sense. But Huffines apparently ran on the whole COVID accountability thing. It was like people didn't want it. They didn't care. It was like, yeah,
well, I mean, sounds about right. I voted for Alan West.
Yeah.
So I Huffines just didn't get his name out there enough.
No, he didn't. No, he didn't. And last article, you know, it seems like on First Amendment rights, this smells like the Rocky. Welcome to the show. Oh, yeah, yeah. I used to love the Rock. And, you know, I don't think he's a bad dude. I just think he's kind of a bitch. It's like, dude, stand your ground. Take the licks.
That when they had that series Ballers on HBO, and he had this one episode, the opening scene was him on a beach reading Elizabeth Warren's book. Yeah. I'm like, well, that's it for me. Turned it off.
Chief full of shit herself. It does beg the question. Is it better to make your political and religious convictions known or just keep them to yourself?
In that sort of business,
I'd say probably keep it to yourself.
I would say keep it to yourself.
Yeah. But again, once you cross the line, there's no going back. And Rock already crossed the line.
He did cross the
line. So now you're a fence sitter. It's like, I didn't realize there's going to be this much blowback, really. And the 4 years prior of Trump, when everything was just Nazis, xenophobia, blah, 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 blah. You're telling me you couldn't tell that the environment was just very electrically charged in the political spectrum? Like, really? Stop. The fact that you endorse Biden tells me why. So, but this one, this last article, everything on Twitter now, everything, I don't know, it's this fresh and fit podcast, bro, morons, that everything is now about dating. Oh, it's so hard. It's not that hard to date. It sucks. Not gonna lie. But they make it like everything is so doom and gloom. I'm never going to find anybody. Oh, blah, 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 blah. So all the podcast bros now and the Pearlies and all these other morons, it's all about talking about like Charlie Kirk, big-headed moron himself, is sitting there blathering on about like a woman in her 30s is no longer as attractive in the dating pool. It's like that's mission dependent because I'm 39. And when I was dating, it's like, I'm not going for women in their 20s. They're too immature. I don't know. I want someone roughly more my age. And so 50. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. So it's just kind of like, and Charlie Kirk's 30, married to a 34-year-old with no kids. Why do these people suddenly feel the need? And I think it's because the conservative influencer base is trying their best to fit in with Gen Z. And they all watch these podcast bro morons. I'm a high value man. It's like you literally talk into a microphone and you don't do anything else. Like literally that's all you do. What's so high value about it? Like I don't see, like here's it. This is my understanding of what I think. And I don't even like saying a high value, just a good man. A good man is someone that can work with their hands. They can take care of their house. They can provide, they can at minimum change a tire, understand the basics mechanics. Doesn't, you don't have to be like, can you change a light bulb? Can you change an electric fixture? Can you do some? Yes. Do you have to be an engineer? No. Can I build a house? Absolutely not. Can I hang sheetrock? I can. I don't want to. I hate that job.
Can you put together IKEA furniture?
God, no. Leave that to the Chinese. Either way, or the Taiwan, I don't know. But still. But everything now is, it's like they're trying to put dating as if it's just this doom and gloom. You're never going to find anybody. It's like, what? What is wrong with you people? Like, are you so miserable that you just think that you're... dude, I don't know. I got unplugged from Twitter for a few days because I'm telling you, the nonsensical BS that I see being perpetuated on there by these morons, it is just insane to me. But I saw this one woman, and I'm kind of like, I don't know how I feel about this. Toronto woman, the first thing is she's Canadian, so that's my first red flag. Now, Toronto woman takes a novel approach to dating by stamping hands at bars. Yeah, I'm not joking about this. A woman has decided to kick her dating efforts up a notch by making custom stamps to use to her advantage. Like the stamps you get at like a club on your hand or whatever, it's like a little ink stamp. Michelle Arshad, 24, is from Toronto and is apparently fed up with dating and looking for an eligible man. Arshad said she works in finance and can tend to be introverted, but wanted to make more of an effort to find Mr. Right, she told SWNO, a British news service. She and a friend came up with this idea of getting personalized stamps that say, you're cute and I'm cute. You should hit me up if you're single. The idea is that when Arshad is out and about and she sees someone she's attracted to, she can go over to the person and stamp the individual's hands, sort of like a pickup line, but without speaking. Is this where we're at now? So number one, you're committing assault. You can't just walk up and stamp somebody's like, hey, I think you're cute. Well, the reality of it is dudes aren't going to give a shit. It's like, oh, that's awesome. You think I'm cute. But I'd just be kind of like, don't touch me. I don't know you. But secondly, you can't walk up and say, hey, my name is John. Would you like to go for some coffee? I'd like to, you seem like you're a very attractive woman. I'd like to get to know you better. I'm single. How difficult is this? But instead, we continue to use these methods that refrain from having to have any conversation whatsoever. I'm introvert. Well, then stay single and die with cats. That's your problem. Either you get over the shit or what? Figure something else. But this, what is this? Like, what is this? This is dumb. Hey, at least pass them a note or something. Check yes or no. Like we're back in freaking fourth grade again or some shit.
It's pretty stupid.
It's a stamp. Are you serious with this?
I'm going to say it's stupid.
It's very stupid.
We wouldn't work out.
She says, it's easier than making eye contact and is a nice little icebreaker. Oh, I'm sure it is. When you walk up to a dude, you take his hand and you stamp and he looks at you like you got a dick growing out of your forehead. Like, if you do that again, I'm going to smack the shit out of you. Don't touch me. I don't know who you are. I mean, I'm not going to lie. Being almost 40 now, I think I'd probably get a little irked at that. I'm like, what do you do? Do I touch you? Like, have some boundaries, you schmuck. You Gen Z little fucker, and they get smacked around. It's nuts. Arshad also included her Instagram handle so that the next day, a potential suitor could find her on social media, too. Oh, that's not dangerous whatsoever. The personalized stamps cost roughly $20 and were ordered online. Then Arshad and her friends put their idea to test. And it said, you're cute and I'm cute. You should hit me up if you're single. IG at mess blah, 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 blah. It's like, so, okay, how many dudes do you stamp in a day? Or is this another way for you to clout chase? Matter of fact, let me look up her Instagram handle because I got a feeling she's just trying to grow a following.
Do you think she's got an OnlyFans?
No. Because if she's basically saying that she's introverted, she can't even make eye contact. Well, then again, who freaking knows? All right. And right now she's got 4,500 followers. So if that was her way of trying to build a following, then it didn't work. Yeah. Just dumb. Does she have an OnlyFans? Let me see. She's got a wish list. Big Texas. Biggest tech. I thought she was Canadian, but it says something about Texas. She got PayPal. I can't imagine putting in your Linktree bio a place where people can just send you money for nothing. You offer nothing. It's like, hey, give me money. It's called begging. And we were raised as, don't do that. Go work for your money. Beyond me. We'd ask a guy, can you give us your hand? And they'd say, yeah, what are you going to do with us? And we'd stamp them, she recalled. The guys, she said, would typically clue in after the stamp was printed on their skin. Although Arshad ended up meeting her boyfriend at the gym, she told WSNS that one of her friends did get a free drink out of the stamp saga. Oh, well, at least you get something out of it. Yeah. Because isn't it the guys that always pay for everything? After sharing the idea on TikTok, which now has 2.4 million views, Arshad received interesting responses from other users who questioned the backlash that might come about if the guy she's chosen to stamp was in a relationship. Arshad's response was simple. If he doesn't do anything, what's the problem? Well, pretty sure that guy's girlfriend or wife be a little pissed off at that. Like, who do you think you are? Like trying to stamp my dude. Yeah, this seems like an idea a 24-year-old girl would have. Stupid.
This is terrible idea.
Terrible idea. This is dumb.
Worst idea I've ever
You want heard. To get smacked? This is how you get smacked. I'm getting cranky in my old age. You just look at the stuff. It's like, what is wrong with you people? It's like you take pride in every dysfunctional thing that you've got. I've got this. I've got that. I've got like ADHD. Every D known to man. And then you take pride in that because it makes you your own little community of fucking wackos. Half of you, I don't think, have ADHD. I think you're just like hyper.
Yeah.
Cool it on the fucking energy drinks. Half of you just need to get smacked. It's nuts. It's not that hard to date. It's time consuming. It's repetitive. It can be aggravating, inundating, exhausting. But it's not the hardest thing you're ever going
to
do.
Alec did say that he has to worry about the girls he goes out with having
have a penis.
Having a wiener.
Yeah. That is different. Yeah, that's a little oof. Oof. Been a girl long? No. Fingers crossed. What are you working with down there? Dude, I don't. Yeah, it's expensive as hell too. You pay for every meal because if you're raised in Argentina, like the guy's gonna pay.
Even if you go to fast food now.
Yeah, you're really gonna pay more now. Yeah, I think I'd always pay for the dates. Yeah, I'd pay for dinner. Because I'd feel weird going Dutch.
Yeah.
And that's just like the tipping thing. It's like, but why do you feel weird about that? It's like because it's just how we were raised.
Yeah.
It's
the same reason I open a door.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's going to end now. Fuck these bitches. Nah, I'm kidding. I'm still going to do it.
Get a stamp that says open your own door. Pay for your own drink.
There you go. All right, folks. That does it for today's episode of the All-American Savage Show podcast. Hey, appreciate it. Appreciate you all tuning in today, being here with us. Sorry it's a little gloomy episode, but fuck, sometimes you just need it. It's reality of the situation. Look, if you want to support the show, you can subscribe on the Rumble channel that we currently have, 500-something people watching. Appreciate that. You can subscribe. Oh, no, we got 1,600 people watching. What's going on, guys? Make sure you hit that follow button. And then to the 130-something we got on Twitter and 70-something we got on YouTube, don't forget to hit the like button, retweet, do that thing I like. You know I like that you do. Come on, go do that. Go do that thing you do. That thing that you do that I know that I want you to do. Anyway, I got so much crap I got to take care of. Appreciate you. Love you. We'll be back here. Don't forget the eclipse on Monday. Excited for this. We have the eclipse bundle at shellshockcbd.com. You can check it out there. Again, get it. It's like 12, 13 bucks. Get the glasses, get the gummy, get baked. And then why? Oh, by the way, they said it's going to be like overcast all day.
It's going to be a thunderstorm.
It's going to be a thunderstorm. It's like, God, son of a bitch. Isn't that it? Isn't that just a thing? Yeah. All right, folks, that does it for us here at the Shell Shock Studios in Richardson, Texas. You got anything to add, my man?
You guys have a great weekend.
And as always, I still can't smell what The Rock is cooking. Texas.